Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training center in Denver, Colorado, this is the Dog Doctor. Committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogdoctorradio.com. The Dog Doctor is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now here is your host, Dr. Robert Forto, the Dog Doctor.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto. I'm here with my co-host, business partner, and wife, Michelle. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
Doing very well. We are pre-recording our show this weekend. I'm going to be up in Minnesota, so we have recorded this actually before I left, but we have a very special show for you. We're going to talk about three particular topics. We're going to talk about service dogs. We're going to talk about our new Camp Works program that is going to be nationwide very soon, as well as a topic that is on a lot of people's mind, especially as they begin to exercise their dogs a little bit more in the springtime, loose leash walking, and a topic that I call I Said Stop. Michelle, what's going on in Denver Dog Works world this week?
Well, this week I have two Camp Works dogs that will be headed home, and they're doing quite well. Most of the dogs that we've been seeing lately are labs or lab mixes. And, you know, it's not a lot of obedience that I've been working on, and it's not a lot of behavior modification that I've been working on. It's a lot of manners. And it's going to tie in nicely to our subject today on loose leash walking, because really it comes down to manners and the lack of manners. And for some reason, people just assume that if their dog is well behaved inside their home, that they're going to remain well behaved outside of their home. And that's not always the case. Dogs get excited. Being outdoors to them is like going to Disneyland for us.
That's exactly right. And as I was saying just a second ago, it is beautiful weather here in Denver. We have had high 60s, low 70s, and we even beat a 131-year-old record here in Denver. I believe that was on Monday when we had an 80-degree day, and that all parallels to having more dogs outside, more exercise. That spring fever has struck.
Absolutely, and we all, and here in Denver, people don't understand. March is typically a very heavy snow month for us, so 80 degrees in the middle of March is extraordinary, and I need to remind everybody that, you know, your dog needs ample amounts of water in the winter, especially here in Colorado because of the dry air. But now with these warmer temperatures, your dog's going to be drinking even more. So please make sure that you now take your dog from being winterized to springerized, if I can say that word.
That is true. And also with that, you got to remember that if your dog has been sedentary the entire winter and just laying around the house, that they just can't get out there with you on your bike and expect to run 2 or 3 miles without any problems.
Well, and you did that just this last week with our dog, Kane. You got a walkie dog, which was very cool. I'd like you to describe what that is to people, because that's a good way to exercise with your dog. And you took him out on this bike run, and you ran him for 2.6 miles, and it literally wore him out. Now, this is a 2-year-old German Shepherd, and it does take a lot to wear them out. And he was fine within a half an hour and ready to go again. But I think that you realize that, too, that, hey, he hasn't been ran in about 6 months and was a little more than he had expected as well.
He did have a good time. He had the proverbial doggy smile on his face the entire time, and we're looking forward to doing more of that, not only with our own dogs, but our Camp Works dogs as well. But that is excellent exercise for you and your dog. And speaking of the walkie dog, if you haven't found out what that is, it is a contraption that you hook up to your seat post, and it has a quick-release tab on it that is often used in the construction industry, with a little leash on it with a spring on it. And the goal is to have the dog very close to you on your side, so it almost mimics walking with your dog but on a bicycle.
So it puts the dog in a heel position.
Puts the dog in a heel position, and you can put it on either side, the left or the right, depending on which side is comfortable for you. And what I have found with that is that it helps the dog maintain its position. I've had a lot of products over the years where I've tried out dogs running on bicycles, either on the front or even on the side. And they have a product out on the market called the Springer. And that product works very well, but it's very close to the back wheel of the dog. And often if a dog is unsure of himself or does not understand proper bike etiquette, he often gets his tail run over or he runs into the wheel or whatever. And that's not the right way to train your dog around a bicycle. About 15 years ago, they used to have a product out that was very similar to the walkie dog, but you would attach it to the bolt on the back wheel, and it would kind of stick out a bit to the side. So it was very similar to this new product, and probably that's where they got the idea from. And I loved that product, but they no longer make it. I don't even remember the name of it, but it was very close to what they make today. So if you're interested in a very good exercise routine for your dog, I highly suggest you go to Amazon.com and pick up a walkie dog. It's about $35 or so, and we're going to place a review on it on our website and thank the company that forwarded it to us.
Also, I'd like to get in touch with the company. Maybe we could have them on as a short guest in the upcoming months and possibly get permission to sell their product via our website as well, because we do have a lot of people that visit our website and we can get them to the product quickly.
That is true. And before we do have guests, I know a lot of people that listen to us in the past, before we have guests back on the Dog Doctor Radio Show, I got to figure out the technical roundabout way of getting Skype to work with GarageBand, and I haven't quite figured that out. We tried to do an interview with our good friend and Iditarod musher Hugh Neff through Skype and GarageBand, and it just didn't turn out very well. The audio on his end was way too low.
I'm blaming it on the fact that he was in northern Alaska.
That's not it. So we got to figure out the necessary rules or whatever on how to get Skype to work with GarageBand. So if anybody's listening out there, I know we've had quite a few influx of listeners here in the last couple of weeks. So if you do have GarageBand and you do use Blog Talk Radio and you do use Skype, please send me an email at live@dogdoctorradio.com and we'll figure it out, and that way we can have our excellent guests that we've had on in the past again on the Dog Doctor Radio Show.
And one more thing before we get into our three topics today, I would like everybody out there that knows that Dr. Forto has a Facebook page, if you are not friends of his on Facebook, you're not going to be able to become friends of his on Facebook, because he has reached his limit and they have kicked him out. Don't let that discourage you. You can still follow us on Facebook. Just go become a fan of Denver Dog Works or even Twine Group on Facebook.
That's exactly right. I guess the limit for fans is 5,000 friends. So I guess Facebook doesn't want you to be very popular. And Facebook has been an excellent medium for our radio show. Just about after every episode, we'll have between 50 and 100 new fans from Facebook.
Well, you do. I'm still under 200 Facebook friends, so I'm okay.
So we do utilize social media to the hilt, and unfortunately the Facebook gods have said that we can only have so many people. So if you're interested in following us on Facebook, please fan us on Denver Dog Works. It's facebook.com/DenverDogWorks. Michelle, anything else before we get into our topics?
No, I think that just about covers all the news and notes for us right now. You are traveling to Minnesota, and everybody out there knows that we did have a kennel up in Minnesota for Team Aneke. And when you came down here to Colorado, we kind of let that go to some of our friends, and we're just going back up there to get restarted. And I'm excited about that because it's been a while, and I've got some new and innovative ways to get people to follow your dog team, each of the dogs individually, via Facebook. I'm going to do a little Facebook page or something for the dog team. We already have Team Aneke on Facebook, so now you're going to be able to follow each and every one of the dogs, including Aneke.
That's true. So as I have dropped hints as we've gone through this past week about heading up to home in Minnesota, and I will send back a report on the future of our Iditarod teams once we figure out what we're doing up in Minnesota.
And that's right. And I'm looking forward to it. It's been a long time since we have had Siberian puppies and things of that nature. And our son, Tyler, he is going to become the DogWorks videographer extraordinaire. He's very good with our video cameras, and I think that that's what we're going to be having Tyler learn how to do this summer, is just he's going to become the videographer.
So pay attention, Facebook, Twitter, our website, DenverDogWorks.com. Just type in that word up there in any search bar, and you will find us, Denver Dog Works, in the search bar. So before we do our topics, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to talk about Team Ineke, since we're mentioning it, and we'll be right back.
Team Ineke is a professional Siberian Husky racing team located in Denver, Colorado and Duluth, Minnesota. Dr. Robert Forto and his team are training for their first Iditarod run in 2013. Team Ineke is seeking corporate and individual sponsors. For more information, visit our website at teamineke.com. That's TEAMINEKA.com. Let's get back to the show. Mush, you Huskies. Gee-ha!
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show via Twine Group Media, dogdoctorradio.com. Dr. Forto, are we ready to start our topics?
We are, and actually this is your topic. You mentioned this just the other day on our blog post, and you can find that on denverdogworks.com, and we talked about service dogs can't read your mind, and I would like you to mention a little bit about that. I know that you are our lead service dog trainer at Denver Dog Works. I do have a client or two, and we're doing quite well. Actually, we're training a service dog that is actually a Siberian Husky, and that's really outside the box, but Denali is an excellent little worker, and I think that she's going to make an excellent service dog. She's already a registered therapy dog and does very well for a student that attends an animal assisted therapy college program. So we're going to work on her to be a registered service dog and see how that turns out. So let's get into this. Service dogs cannot read your mind.
Well, and actually I do want to give Ineke some props. Ineke worked as a therapy dog for us for quite some years after we retired him as a sled dog in the school environments, and he really enjoyed it. So I don't think that there's a problem with Siberians becoming service dogs, and I think that they are not looked at enough for that type of a job. And, you know, on my blog, Service Dogs Can't Read Your Mind, I had put a post out there on my Facebook page, I think, and Denver Dog Works Facebook page, and it was just a little blurb to see what people would think, and I didn't get enough comments about it, but it was reality check. Service dogs cannot read your mind. Service dogs provide their handlers with specific services. These services are performed when the handler communicates with the dog in one form or another. Communication is the key, and the service dog trainer's job is to ensure that the dog is able to understand a variety of commands. Sharpen the saw by maintaining good work ethic with your dog.
So with that, what does that mean exactly? I know sharpen the saw comes right from Stephen Covey's Seven Habits book, which means that you really have to know what's going on in all aspects of life before you proceed with that. So in your service dog training, what does it mean that you have to have that proper balance with your service dog?
Well, the work ethic, and thank you, Mr. Covey. I did go ahead and totally steal that from you. But it really encompasses what the problems that I'm seeing out there are with not only our service dog clients, but therapy dog clients and the industry in general. Basically, what I meant by work ethic is just that. You're not getting a service dog just to be your pal that gets to go everywhere with you because that's what you want. A service dog works, and you need to develop a work ethic with your dog because now your dog is a team member. You have to think of yourself as a business. You've now become an entity. You now have a business partner that goes everywhere with you, that needs to communicate with you and be able to perform their job for you so that you can live your life better.
And are you finding problems with that with your clients?
I am. A few of my clients are missing that work ethic piece of it. I mean, you may or may not necessarily have a job because your disability disallows you to, but you still are trying to have quality of life. And in order to have quality of life, you've sought out the use of a service dog, and therefore that dog doesn't just sit in the corner and wait until you say, come here, Max, and do this job for me, get me my medicine. That's not how it works. The dog and the handler need to do certain things every day to maintain the dog's ability to do his job.
In your article, you talk about the rate of success. What does that mean?
Well, the rate of success, it varies. It depends on what the dog is being trained for. I do know that for guide dogs for the blind, it's been known for years that if you set up 10 puppies and train 10 puppies to become guide dogs, you'll be lucky to get 2.3 of those dogs to pass and actually work as guide dogs.
So do you use this service dog model as your training regimen for your service dogs?
I do use a model for my training for the basis and the foundation training, but because we train service dogs for autism, mobility, psychiatric, and post-traumatic stress disorders, which is very new. Autistic and PTSD service dogs are very new. They're within the last decade, and there isn't a lot of guidelines for training them as we speak right now. So I developed my own, and I try to keep on a specific ethical path for those dogs. And this is where the fine line becomes even thinner. We have a lot of people that send us inquiries, even come into our store with dogs that are inappropriate for the job, as well as dogs that cases that are inappropriate of the need of a service dog. And what I mean by that is at Dog Works Training Centers, we don't raise puppies as of right now and turn them out every 2 years to become service dogs. We decided to do it a little bit differently. I will get a dog for you. I will raise that dog and train it for the first 9 months of its life, and then I'm going to place that dog in your home, and for the next 9 months to a year, we are in a rigorous training ritual together. You're not on your own, and I don't train the dog for 2 years and then go to your house for 2 weeks and teach you how to do everything in a two-week period. I like the bonding part of it. The problem that I'm seeing with the lack of work ethic is coming from our few clients that have come to us with dogs that are already established in their home, and there's already a bond there, and the dogs do pass the temperament test, and the dogs are perfectly capable of working in the capacity that they need them to for service work. The problem is arising where I can't get the clients to understand that now their pet dog that they've asked me to turn into a working service dog, they don't understand the working part of it.
And with our service dogs, we work with a very reputable breeder. Typically, we only use German Shepherds, and there's a reason for that. I'm going to have Michelle explain that in just a second. But we pay attention to the training. Raising puppies is great, but if you have somebody that can provide you with world-class dogs, our training is much easier in terms of placing those dogs for particular disabilities. And the reason that we use German Shepherds is why, Michelle?
Well, we use German Shepherds, and especially this particular strain, and I'm going to enhance on that when I build my kennel, because they're sound. The temperament has been proven. They are proven work dogs in service as well as in other capacities, and I want to continue the work ethic that the dogs already have ingrained in their bloodlines, because when the dog has the work ethic, even if the handler has a lack of work ethic, the dog's going to pick up the pieces for them. And I just would like to put out there, the dogs that I am having problems with do not have proven bloodlines in service work, and there is a lack of work ethic there.
And by using one particular breeder, we're taking away a lot of the genetic problems, we're taking away a lot of the health problems, we're taking away a lot of the unforeseen problems that you're going to have just by purchasing a dog from somebody that you don't know.
Right, and our breeder is willing to help us expand on the service lines that she has established and help us build our own lines, starting with our daughter's dog, Kane. He comes from service and protection lines, and that's what we liked, but we're going to be pulling more service lines out of her kennel and building our own.
So we're going to have more information about that in the coming weeks. So we're always evolving in terms of our service work, and there's a lot of service dog companies out there, and many of them are doing great work, if not most of them are doing great work. But at Denver Dog Works, we do it just a little bit different. It's a much smaller scale than most service dog organizations. It's not our primary focus on our business. So when we spend time with our service dog clients, they're getting the best quality training that they can get.
Absolutely. And, you know, I had met with a client this past week, and she said, "What's your application process?" I said, "This interview is the application process." And that didn't make any sense to her because she had gone out on several different other company sites and had to do extensive applications, be placed on waiting lists. And I don't want to ever work it that way. I don't care how big we get. I will come to your home. I will interview you in person, or you can come to me and we will interview, and that's just how it's going to work. I will be having Dr. Forto help me build some informational pages to put on my website for our service dogs, and we will link it from the DogWorks Training Center sites and the Denver DogWorks sites. But basically, it's not ever going to have an application process on there. It's going to have an explanation and a process and available dogs that we have. You know, choosing a dog is also still your choice in our company to a point.
That's exactly right. So let's segue into our next topic, which is our Camp Works program. And the reason that it is a segue is we spend quite a bit of our service dog knowledge on our Camp Works program. Michelle, can you explain that a little bit and then tell everybody that is listening about our new offerings now, where we're going to work with the locations that Pet Airways uses, as well as our ground transportation, where we pick up and deliver your dog. So before we talk about our new offerings, what is Camp Works?
Well, Camp Works is a program based off of a board and train. And board and train is very simple. Board and trains have been around for probably 30 years. They just weren't very popular until the last 5 or 6 years. And that is where you give your dog to a trainer. They either train in their home or they train in their kennel, and they keep your dog for a period of typically 2 to 12 weeks. We have programs that run for puppies 2 weeks and 4 weeks, and then all the way up to 12 weeks for our older dogs. Our most popular is our Camp Works 1, which is 3 weeks, 21 days to make or break a habit. This Camp Works you developed probably 15 years ago when you were training dogs for people in the park, and you had a couple of people that said, "Hey, can you just take my dog for a couple of weeks? I'm going on a vacation," and you developed this program that way, and we've just expanded on it. You have trained many more service dogs than I have, but I've kind of picked up the pieces where you left off because you've become an aggressive dog expert, and I've incorporated my service dog training style into the Camp Works program, and we have found that it works out excellently for regular pet dogs because people want that service dog quality in their dog inside their own home, and to have it transfer outside of the home in certain situations. There's a lot of places here in Colorado, coffee shops and outdoor dining areas, where you can take your dog, and what better way to have your dog be prepared for public access if he's allowed to be there, whether he's a service dog or not. So I've incorporated that type of training into my Camp Works program. It is explained out there, and it's going to be developed a little bit more over the next couple of months as we expand. Camp Works is pleased with the services that we have received from Pet Airways. We've had one dog so far travel to us from New York, Charlie. We have spoken about several times on this radio show, and you know, the experience was quite honestly awesome. They treated him well. They made sure that he was comfortable, and I can't say anything better about them. And we first heard about Pet Airways when we first started this radio show about a year ago, before they even were off the ground, and we were skeptical. How in the world do you just have a pet-only airline? How is this going to work? Well, we have discovered that it works out great. In fact, I will never travel my dogs again on a commercial airline. I will use Pet Airways, and that includes sending Robert all over the country with his sled dogs. I don't care if I have to commission the entire plane. That is how we will be traveling with our dogs if he needs to fly them. For those of you that live within a four-state area or the Rocky Mountain region, we will be traveling and perfectly able and capable to come to you, pick up your dog, and bring them to our facility, which is half in our home right now and half at our training center. Understand that the dogs become part of our family, and we do everything with them. They go to work, they come home. They go to work, they come home. If we go to the park, they go to the park. If we go to the kids' ball games, they go to the kids' ball games. This is why I only train four dogs at a time, and this is why it's such a sought-after package, at least here in Denver.
So our area is Colorado, Wyoming, New Mexico, and Utah. We're going to tease people a little bit and head over.
Well, I'll go to Las Vegas, but that's about as far as we'll go.
Right. So with that, we are going to offer transportation, and I know you just touched on it just a second ago, but what is that process? How do people find out about us? First and foremost, of course, visit DenverDogWorks.com, but let's say they're in Santa Fe, New Mexico, and a typical client will call us up or send us an email, and then they'll come in for an evaluation, and then they'll either decide or think about what they want to do, and then they will put down a deposit for an upcoming spot. So how is it going to work for Mr. Johnson in Santa Fe?
Well, with Charlie's owner and I had extensive emails and phone calls back and forth, probably about four or five communications back and forth about Charlie. Charlie is unique. Charlie was purchased with the idea of doing a board and train prior to him being purchased. If you already have a dog and you're having these problems or you want to take advantage of a CampWorks training program, I would encourage you to take a short video, 3 to 5 minutes, show us what your dog does that you dislike, show us some of the things that you love about your dog so I can capture some of the dog's personality, because in my CampWorks program, I'm not changing your dog. I'm not eliminating their personality. I'm bringing the best of your dog out of them and giving them manners. So I would encourage you to take a short video of your dog and send it to us via email or even in snail mail. I don't care. You can put it on YouTube, and can they put it on our YouTube account?
They can't put it on our YouTube, but anybody can set up a YouTube account. If you're just a little bit tech savvy, you can do it relatively easy. Pretty much these days, if you have an Apple computer or a PC, any of them allow you to record video on your camera, even using your iPhone or your BlackBerry or whatever.
Right.
And then you can just download it to your computer, save it as a file, and shoot it over on email.
That's right. And you've done actually lots of the YouTube videos via your iPhone for us, and they work out just fine. So I would prefer people to do a little short video of their dogs and include an email. You can tell me everything about little Max. Max likes to steal things off the counter. Max likes to jump on people, but Max also likes to lay down next to me and keep my feet warm. That's what I want to know.
So how long is our waiting list, and then how do people reserve their spots?
Well, that's something that needs to be tweaked a little bit on the website. Right now I have availability beginning the last week of April for the next 3 weeks. But please understand that for my three-week programs, they fill up a little faster. Charlie is here on a 12-week program, and a 12-week-long program is a little bit different. That means that I go from four available slots to three available slots over the next 12 weeks.
That's right. And if you're interested in signing up, as we said, we have video and everything that we can get from you. But we also have a deposit tab on our merchandise page on Denver Dog Works. You can reserve your spot there with a credit card. You can use PayPal. You can call us up and reserve it with a credit card. You can send us a check or a money order, whatever you want to do. But it's important that you reserve your spot. So if you're thinking that, yes, we're going to go on vacation in August, and we're going to be going for 3 weeks to Hawaii or whatever, make sure you reserve that spot well in advance, because our spots fill up very quickly, and we want to make sure that if you're going on summer vacation that you have the spot reserved for you and your dog.
Absolutely. And, you know, one other thing, we're going to be having a satellite office that we're going to be looking at building in Minnesota as well, and that will give us a new region. But we're going to be retaining our Rocky Mountain region site with a very good friend of ours and fellow trainer, Leah Morse, who will be continuing our Camp Works program, and she will be following it exactly the way that I do it here now. So don't let that discourage you. You guys are hearing that we might be moving. Yeah, we might be moving, but that doesn't mean that you can't still retain our services.
And with that, on this transportation option that we're having, how is that going to work when the time is over? Or the training is over?
Well, if your dog is out of state and you are unable to come to a send home and your two follow-ups that are included, then you will be getting your dog returned to you with a videotape and specific instructions, as everybody else does. The videotape is not available for those clients that are able to come in and get us personally.
So that is with our Pet Airways connection, but what about...
That is with our Pet Airways connection, and if I'm bringing your dog back to you via the Van Go, however we're going to call that, you will get the send home will be over the course of 2 days, and you will have to pay for the expense of the travel. So the packages are the training cost only. The Pet Airways is a separate cost.
You would pay Pet Airways for that.
Right. And then the transportation via me coming and getting your dog and returning your dog is going to be mileage, and then one afternoon fee.
And that's going to be very much explained as we go and as we talk to potential clients and their dogs for our Camp Works program. So you're listening to the Dog Doctor Radio Show, part of Twine Group Media. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And if you're looking for some past shows, you can always find them on dogdoctorradio.com. Our next topic and our last topic for the afternoon is a topic that I like to talk about. It's called I Said Stop. And Michelle is going to talk a little bit about that and training for loose leash walking and a very good come command. Two very important life-saving commands for your dog, and I want her to explain why.
Well, what is loose leash walking? Loose leash walking is a relaxed way to have your dog in a heel position. In my training, I call it the two-foot box. On your left side, imagine that there is a two-foot box next to you in either direction, front, forward, back, side. Your dog is to remain in that two-foot box, and it's not a perfect heel, because a perfect heel is much smaller than that two-foot box. If you can get your dog to walk with you, I like to call it holding hands. I want to be able to hold hands with my dog. I don't want to be dragged down the street. I don't want to have to drag them down the street. There's no fun in that. It's not a smell fest. You're going to be allowed to be a dog at the end of the walk and possibly at the very beginning of the walk, depending on my yard situation. But for the most part, I want to be able to cruise down the street proudly with my head up, walking my dog, their tail up, their head up, and we look like a good combination.
Now, how do you parallel that with come? In my training with basic obedience, the come command is the most important command that I work on. And as a lot of trainers talk about, a dog is only as good as his stay. Well, also, a dog is only as good as his cum. Who cares if your dog can do a perfect sit-stay for 30 minutes while you're dropping Thanksgiving dinner all over the floor if he won't come as soon as he darts out the front door and gets run over in the street? All of that in-house training is out the window. So, Michelle, why is cum so important?
Well, cum is important because it shows your dog that you are the most important thing no matter what. You're more important than that squirrel or that kid that just rode by on his bicycle. You are the most important thing. It's truly one of the most leadership commands that you teach. If you want to be your dog's pack leader or your dog's alpha leader, you need to make sure that that dog will come to you when he's called. And come is supposed to be fun and pleasurable. If you're going to yell, "Charlie, come," I'm not coming to you. But at the same time, if you say, "Charlie, come," I'm going to come to you because you've got something to offer me. Pat on the head, my ball, maybe even a treat. So cum is very important. If in a training situation, it takes us 3 to 5 days to get a bond with the dogs. So for us to teach them cum, that's the first thing we teach them. We do it on leash, we back up, come here, good boy. And every time they come to us, we encourage them to sit in front. So we get a good sit right off the bat, as well as a cum. Stay is easy.
There you go. So that is our two most important commands in obedience, the loose leash walking and cum. And, of course, everything else is built around that. But those are the first two commands that we teach in our basic obedience programs, as well as typical manners. So, Michelle, anything else you want to say? We just have a couple of minutes left here on this episode, and I want to let everybody know about our upcoming episodes as well.
You know, I would just like to let everybody know out there that we are different. We are still different, and that's why people come to us, and that's why people are seeking us out. Yes, Camp Works is our most successful program and has been for the last 18 months because of the way that I have developed it, if I can pat myself on the back for that. And, you know, people are starting to come to you more and more, not just for aggression, but because they want you to come and teach them how to train their dog in one afternoon. That's not always plausible, is it?
No, it's not, but we can see immediate results with just one lesson. And with that, a lot of trainers out there give you guarantees, saying, "I guarantee that your dog will be trained." And that's something that is a little bit of a misnomer.
It is. It goes back to my work ethic topic with my service dogs. Even for the simple pet dog, the guarantee isn't there unless you're able to help give the work to.
That's exactly right. So we encourage all of you guys to give us a call. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can reach us at 303-578-9881, 303-578-9881. And just for everybody that is listening out there, the Dog Doctor Radio Show is on every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. Mountain Time. And our sister show, Mush You Huskies, is on biweekly on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. as well. We are having a episode this Sunday on the 4th at 9:30 a.m. We're going to talk about a topic that I've written about the last couple of weeks called "Who Are These Dogs That Pull Sleds?" And we talk about the Alaskan Husky, we talk about the Malamute, we talk about the Samoyed, we talk about our friends the Siberians. So we're going to be recording that show, and it will be posted, on Sunday morning at 9:30, and in 2 weeks from Sunday, on the 18th, I believe it is, we're going to talk about urban mushing on Mush You Huskies. So you can also follow us on there on this same channel, blogtalkradio.com/dogworks, blogtalkradio.com/dogworks. We always welcome your comments. You can find us at live@dogdoctorradio.com. And if you're listening on Blog Talk Radio, make sure you hit that favorite button, and we will send you a reminder of every show that we're going to post. So that's always a good way to start off the Saturday or Sunday morning, and you can always download us from iTunes as well. I am Robert Forto. I'm here with my co-host, Michelle. Never forget your dreams. We'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.